Well, in the past 3 years, Australian publishing has witnessed a fantasy come true, the discovery of an almost forgotten writer who turns out to be, well, brilliant, and who has an unpublished manuscript written decades ago. And when that one's published, the readers and the critics acclaim it as a glorious novel. I'm talking about the Australian writer Elizabeth Harrower. She was born in 1928, and she's the author of The Watchtower and of In Certain Circles, which was written in the 60s and was published for the very first time last year. And on top of that, we now have a collection of 12 powerful and pitch-perfect short stories. It's just out. It's called A Few Days in the Country and Other Stories. And Elizabeth Harrower is in our Sydney studio. Elizabeth, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much.
Nice to have you here. When did you write these 12 stories?
Scattered over a few years. I didn't keep diaries or put notes on anything, so...
So do you mean you wrote them basically in the 60s and 70s? Are there any more recent than that?
Probably not. I haven't looked at any of the books, really. If I thought they were very good, I would be annoyed with myself and sad about not writing more. And if I might have wanted to correct something.
Oh,
who knows?
I see.
You know, writers can never stop cutting things.
You know, it's not for me to give you advice, Elizabeth, but I reckon if you read them, you would think, well, that was a great thing to do with part of my life. I mean, you have written these five astonishing novels. Most of us don't write one book that's worth anything. You've written five, and all these lovely short stories. That's a considerable achievement for a life.
I'm very, very glad that I've written the books. I feel that's all I've ever done to justify my existence. And... I always had an alarming and dangerous interest in human nature. And so recently, I think I was answering some questions and I said that I felt I had urgent messages to deliver. I wanted to tell people things. And so here are the books and there are my messages.
So you were born in Sydney in 1928 and you grew up in the industrial city of Newcastle till the age of 11. And then when you were quite a young woman in your 20s, you moved to London. This is in the 50s.
That's right.
Did you have a sense then when you went to London that you were going there to be a writer?
Well, I had always written. I didn't ever say I was going to be a writer. From childhood, I loved words and I was read to and read everything that was available. And then the one useful thing I learned in my teens was to touch type. So as soon as I was near a typewriter, I was writing.
You went off to London. What were you hoping to find in London?
Well, I went to London and worked at all sorts of odd jobs and just worked with my typewriter. The first thing that was actually a novel was the one that was down in the city, because having been in the UK for a few years, I suddenly remembered Sydney, the best of it. And so that was really a very small love letter to Sydney, the first one.
Were you homesick, do you think, when you wrote
never, that? Never, never, never. When I sailed away, I thought, I'll never come back.
Ah, so what brought you back in 1959?
Well, people wrote to me and said, your mother misses you, and I was the only child. Also, I thought a couple of books had come out by that time and had good reviews in Sydney, and so I thought it would be interesting to come back as this new person.
So you'd gone away and become the person you were always meant to be.
Exactly. That's it.
Elizabeth Harrower is my guest here this morning on Books and Arts. So... in the 60s, which is an exciting time wherever you were on the planet, really, there you are living in Sydney. And I imagine that you're getting by on very little, are you, because you're living the life of a writer?
Well, I think nobody younger than me, and everybody's younger than me, cannot imagine how not interested in writers Sydney was. This was before much television. Before there were celebrities, there were two famous people in Australia, Patrick White and Manning Clark.
So we're talking about Patrick White, and you got to know him very well. He often seems like such a forbidding figure to those of us who didn't know him. Yeah. Can you tell us about the Patrick White who you knew?
Well, he was a lovely man. I was very, very fond of him.
So you really, even though you're not a feted person in Sydney in the 60s, you are getting to know all these other famous artists. You knew Nolans, for example, as well.
I worked for Macmillan's, the publishers, and Macmillan's published one of Cynthia's books, Open Negative, and I really liked it.
Cynthia Nolan, the wife of Sidney Nolan.
Yes, and Patrick said they were coming. He was looking forward to their visit, and he said, "Oh, Cynthia, you know, frightens people." And I said, "Well, I'll like her because I liked the book."
And were these connections that you had with the writing fraternity, were they connections that encouraged you to write? I mean, Patrick White, for example, was he encouraging you to pursue your calling as a writer?
Patrick shouted at me. He was so angry that I wasn't writing. This is the thing we mainly ever quarrelled about.
I mean, to be honest with you, Elizabeth, when I read The Watchtower, which was only last year, it was an absolute revelation to me. And when I read Patrick White, I am a little bit conscious always that he's engaged in this massive intellectual effort as if he's writing literature into a culture where literature is unknown. As you say, in Sydney at the time, being a writer was still a sort of weird thing to be. And you feel as though White is having to move some kind of massive load of unbelief to get to the literature, the Australian literature that's beyond. And you get the same sense of Herculean labour in the writing of Manning Clark. But you write as if there are writers all around you. You write with complexity and subtlety and wit. Did you feel as though there were other writers beside you, perhaps not even Australian writers, that you were part of a community of writers?
Well, I did, in the sense that from a very, very early age, I read everything. I read hugely. I read the City of Sydney Library from A to Z. I had read everything, really. I've just never seen without... This is when I was in my teens, and up to the time I left when I was 23, I read and read and read and appreciated books. They were my world, really.
Fiction mainly, do you mean?
Well, not only that. Philosophy, politics, psychology, I was greedy. I read everything.
Elizabeth Harrow is my guest here on Books and Arts this morning, and we're talking about her journey as a writer, her journey to becoming a writer, and then her decision to stop and lead a life doing something else. Elizabeth, in that moment when you headed off to London with all that reading under your belt, were there some writers or a particular writer who you thought, yeah, that's what I could do? That's the writer I'm modelling myself on?
Well, I really think for anyone who's starting to write, nobody can teach you. You must read all the great books, and you must want to, and you must compare what you've turned out with what they've turned out.
I mean, you don't sound like anyone else. You just sound like yourself. But in themes, you've got a bit in common with Henry James. I mean, I'm thinking particularly of Portrait of a Lady, in which you've got Isabel Archer, who could be free and independent because she has money, but she falls for this egotistical bully named Gilbert Osmond. That's the sort of story you tell too.
I like Henry James, of course. I would go through phases where I would read everything of one person, and then I would move on and love somebody else, but I didn't forget first loves.
Can I ask you about the subjects that you dealt with, Elizabeth, in the books? Because one theme that does come back several times is the story of a woman who is caught in an unhappy marriage, usually with a handsome or charming bully. What are you trying to convey to your readers by returning to that theme so often?
Well, I'm not conscious of having returned to that particular theme. And I remember when The Long Prospect came out, men liked it because there was a kind man in it. And then when The Watchtower came out, men were rather irritated because there was a villain in it.
Felix Shaw is the very self-regarding businessman in The Watchtower who is just so dreadful. A class is another theme, isn't it? I mean, the unhappiness that comes when a person marries up the social ladder, for example, is a theme you've dealt with. Do you have a sense that the class distinctions in Australia have changed at all since you were writing in the 60s?
I do, yes. There's much, much more money. And when I came back in 59, even then, there were two famous people in the country. And in the Sunday social pages, there would be about 6 or 10 families that were social. And there were very, celebrities were very, very thin on the ground. But suddenly, a great access of wealth and money and television, everything changed quite dramatically. Population increased enormously. And, of course, the trams had disappeared, which was also tragic. So Sydney changed and the society also.
How do you think the loss of the trams changed Sydney society? What don't we have in Sydney now that we once had when there were trams in Sydney?
Well, they were good fun. I liked them. and now that we've had these big transport changes in the city, a journalist wrote the other day about Carmageddon and Busmageddon, which I thought was quite funny.
So, as you made clear, Elizabeth, at some stage in your life you decided not to write. So you finished this book In Certain Circles in 1971. You withdrew it from publication. It's only now been published and published to considerable acclaim. Do you recall what it was that made you lose faith in that book back in the early 70s? Why you withdrew it?
It was accepted by Macmillan's. I think it's really impossible for you to imagine how different publishing was in those days. They would publish a book and that was it. Nothing happened. It would be reviewed. In my case, they were well reviewed, but nothing happened. There'd be the occasional academic person would come and there'd be an essay in a literary journal. But I don't know, it felt sort of hopeless. Was anybody reading them except the reviewer who seemed to like things?
So you suddenly just said to yourself, look, it's just not worth it.
I must have thought I was not being properly appreciated and I was fed up, something like that.
So were you being a little bit passive-aggressive? Were you saying to the country, all right, I'll show you, I won't publish my book, that'll teach you?
If you don't want my book, I won't give it to you. I don't know. I really, I know my mother had died not long before this and that was a huge shock. Because she was quite young and it was overnight and unexpected completely. So I was in something of a state of shock. But as I said in an interview a while ago, the books I regarded as buried treasure, I was confident that they would all be republished after I was dead. And because there was a lot of good material about them in the library and academics are always interested to have a cause, and I was certain that I would be somebody's cause after I was dead.
Well, this is a story that has a happy ending because you're not dead. All the books, including the one you got grumpy about In Certain Circles, have been published again by Text. And we're all saying, wow, what a wonderful writer we have amongst us. So you are getting the acclaim that was so very absent back in 1971. Has this made it worth it, do you reckon?
Of course, it's, as I think Michael said, Michael Hayward, you know, writers want to be understood, and there's nothing more satisfying than feeling that your best thoughts have found the right audience and really mean something to other people, and everybody should be so lucky. I mean, I'm 87, and I mean, imagine having 4 happy years at that age.
Well, I hope you have many, many more, Elizabeth. Thank you so much for joining us. And I know that you will find readers among the people who listen to Books and Arts because they're very much your kind of people. It's just been a total pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed talking to you.
Elizabeth Harrower. And her five novels are now back in print thanks to Text Publishing. And you can also get that book of wonderful, they're very concise, they're very intense short stories. It's called A Few Days in the Country and Other Stories.